You got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a very familiar chapter. I want to make this announcement because, you know, so many people watch it. I'm not wearing a wedding band simply because I washed my hands and I forgot it on my lavatory. So don't go out here saying, "Brother Jesse had a divorce," because I didn't, you know, just you know, people will just say anything, do anything, glory to God, you know. God is so good and gracious to us. I want to thank Brother and Sister Copeland for once again allowing me to be a part of this great company of ministers. I apologize I couldn't be here earlier because I had to do some. I'm so glad that the word of the Lord spoke to Brother Bartlett about legal ops. I had to do some legal things and things of that nature. So that's why I stood up. It's not bad, don't misunderstand. But you got to do business, you know. You do what you got to do. But and I could have fixed it with some friends of mine, but I didn't. Some of them give you a word of knowledge. That's what the Mississippi River's for. I even told the Lord, I said, they can do a good job on this. No evidence, I promise you, praise God. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to talk this morning because there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in these buildings. In this building today, I call it the executive branch of God's government. That God has called you to lead. And it's a great responsibility to lead. Because everybody's behind you. I had one man ask me one time, "I'm behind you, Brother Jesse." I said, "How far? If I lean back, do I fall down or do you hold me up?" I need to know that space. I need to know that. And I find it such an honor when God calls you to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Because many are called, few are chosen. And out of 7 billion people on this planet now, God chose you to speak His oracle, to minister His word. Now, what are the odds of that happening? Probably so big it couldn't happen. So you're really special in that God saw something in you that you could minister to this planet because He loves this planet. He calls it the apple of His eye and His footstool. It's truly amazing how much He loves this planet and the sun that warms it. We have so many stars. We have more stars than we have specks of sand on the planet Earth. Just in the universe. This God that is phenomenal. And it's truly amazing when you realize how great it is to serve the Lord. To be a part of who He is and a part of His work. And I've had people say, "I've been knowing you for 35 years. You never get depressed or discouraged. All I got to do is go outside and look up. And look at that. I'm like King David. Look at the majesty of His hands. To study what He's done. And then to see just, like here, to see things that He could, He makes people create things that are just phenomenal." So I'm always in that wonderful mood. You know, in that essence, like everything I see the Creator in it. Not just nature, but everything. So I'm never alone because all His substance is around me. And I just enjoy His presence. The title of this message this morning is, "What you do in life echoes into eternity." You can write that down. What you do in life echoes into eternity. You're not just for one generation. There's something in your life that will echo into eternity, even into the halls of heaven. And every time I read this chapter of Hebrews 11, yet my favorite book in the New Testament is Ephesians. I just love Ephesians. And my favorite book of the Old Testament is Genesis. I just enjoy those two books. But when I go to Hebrews, it talks about wonderful men and women that were people of faith. I want to ask you, and I'll ask myself, are you on that list? If the Lord would come right now and begin to read the books of the heroes of faith, is your name on it? Because these men and women were heroes of faith. And I say, is my name on that list? If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, my name must be on that list. And if you look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is," and that might be, "the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now notice the next statement. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Someone is making a report on your life. Now, if someone's making a report on your life, someone's going to read the report on your life, and then someone's going to tell somebody about the report. So something is happening here, and you get down here where you get to, starts off with Abel and goes on into so many wonderful men like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and my Lord, and Samson and Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and just so many of them. And every time I read it, I said, Lord, is my name on that list? And he gave me this statement, what you do in life echoes into eternity. See, we look through a glass darkly simply because of who we are. We look at just our ministries or other ministries who we might esteem highly in the faith. But God is looking into centuries and centuries. I read books of ministers who preach wonderful messages centuries ago, and their words still echo into my life. You see what I'm saying? And it must just be more than one generation. I heard something last night that kind of bothered me because there's so much against Christianity. And it was on, what's his name here, the Factor, Bill O'Reilly. And some woman was talking about, and he asked her point blank, you know, I'm in the 1% clientele of the rich, would you call it, how much money should I pay? Give me a percentage. You know, and she kept kind of, fiche, and we call it, that's Cajun, but just, you know, slippery. He said, no, just give me a percentage. And she said, well, you should pay at least, right now I think you're paying 35 to 37%, something like that, at the highest tax rate. She said, well, you should at least do it in the 40s, and your children ought to work for it. Then I realized what she's saying was she was totally unscriptural, that a good man makes an inheritance for his children's children. And what she's saying is that anything you do for your that you accumulate in your life, it shouldn't go to your children, it should go to the government. That's what you're saying. Which is totally unscriptural. Completely. And I said to her, I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Government, I'll give them what, because the Bible said, render to Caesar with Caesar, but Caesar's dead. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I promise you that Jesus tarries, and I go by the way of the grave, my daughter and my granddaughter is going to get what I've accumulated. I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. I just want everybody to know about that. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to get to verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed. That's the most important word in that verse. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now that's what faith is. You notice it goes on through, you read through the whole chapter, by faith, but then it changes in verse 11. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Then it tells you in verse 13, these all died in faith. And it goes back to by faith, by faith, by faith, talking about Joseph and Jacob. And then it gets over by faith, Moses. Then it says through faith in verse 28. You see, most people that are Christians live by faith. But a lot of people do not understand through faith. I've been amazed at my time with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and KCM, and I've been preaching for this ministry, with this ministry probably 22 years. How many people don't come that used to come? See, they still live by faith, and when they were here, they were living by faith, but they never understood through faith. Because when you understand through faith, you understand the inner workings of faith. So you're able to answer a question like, why that didn't happen the way it should have happened. Or if you understand through faith, you're not concerned about the time frame that it takes to get done. There are times when I've sowed seed and I said, Lord, this is a time-sensitive seed. It's time-sensitive, so you need to know that. Just thought I'd let you know, it's time-sensitive. It's got to move quick. Now, I'm going to go to bed and not know what would happen, but when I wake up, there better be a harvest out there. You see what that lady was saying to Bill O'Reilly is that she don't want no inheritance to go to any church. They want the harvest off of your seed so you can never sow again. Do you see that? That's what Satan's doing and make people go against the Bible because he knows if he can get all the money, he thinks he can shut this thing down because we live in an economic world. We don't live like Star Trek. They don't have any money. They don't deal with money. They just deal with whatever they deal with. But us, we live in an economic world, and so many people have so misunderstandings of money. I've never tried to accumulate. Before I was saved, I tried to accumulate. After I got born again, I quit trying to accumulate. It just began to come to me through my giving. I understood the scripture because I had someone tell me, don't read this Bible, you'll never understand it. I was raised that way. Being in the city of New Orleans, I was raised Catholic. I was christened and confirmed the Catholic boy. No me ne patri e fili, spiritu santi, you know, that's what it was. That's it. But you know what? I believe that priest. When he said, I give you absolution, I walked out. I was clean for at least 30 minutes. But I knew I was clean because my belief in his word. You see what I'm saying? Changed something in me until I did something wrong again. Well, when I began to read the Bible and found out that I could understand it, that I'm not a dummy, and then when I realized that he put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to teach me what they knew in their side of Revelations, I thought, this is so wonderful that this is really not a hard book to understand. But you must understand through faith, not just live by faith, or understand the inner workings of faith, because when the problem comes, what do you do with it? Now, I want you to watch this. He says, he went out not knowing whither he went. Write this down. Now, God was talking to Abraham. The voice of God always has, number one, a message. Number two, a mission. Wherever there's a message, there's going to be a mission. From a message and a mission comes a separation. Let me say it again. The voice of God always has a message, which means spiritual freedom. A mission, which can only be fulfilled by obedience. And number three, a separation from the past. Let me say it again. The voice of God always has a message, which means spiritual freedom. A mission, which can only be fulfilled by obedience. And number three, a separation from the past, which means a renunciation of all plans and interests into absolute guidance. I've had people ask me so many times, you know, they give me a compliment that it's really I'm not deserving of. They say, Jesse Duplantis is a good businessman. Well, everything I do, I run my ministry like a business because the Bible said in Isaiah that he would teach me to profit. But what I realize I'm on anything is not my intellect because I'm not that smart, is I rely on absolute guidance. Because when I don't know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, if I made a mistake, I wouldn't know it because I don't know what I'm doing. So now I'm understanding through faith, not looking for something I could see, but to live by what his word says. So his voice to me always has a message, which means spiritual freedom. And when you got the message of God, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There's freedom because you know God said. And then when you have the mission, which can only be fulfilled by obedience, your next step is to go obey what God said. The problem with the third part is most people want to bring the past with them. But the past never sees the future. So that third voice or that third message is a separation from the past. Now, let me do a little teaching and preach. I get funny after a while, you know, but let me get this in you. Because you understand what I'm saying? You've got to have this. Because that's a tough world out there. There's a war against Christianity. And we are on the front lines. I had a man tell me the other day who was of another denomination. He said, it seems like everything you touch prospers. I said, yes, because I'm special. He looked at me like I done lost my mind. What do you mean special? I said, the Bible says that we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially special to those who are the household of faith. Not that I'm better. I'm just special. People say that's cockiness. No, that's good. That's smart. When you know who you are, instead of trying to believe who you are, when you know God sent you. Oh, I'm starting to pray. I want to teach this. Lord, I got goosebumps big as acorns on my legs right now. When you know and understand through faith, I don't care what kind of hell you're going through. You go through. And you come out on the other side. Because what you do in life echoes into eternity. Paul in a prison. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. That's echoing in even in my life. And I kept the faith. So let me say it again. The voice of God always has a message, which means spiritual freedom, a mission which can only be fulfilled by obedience. And number three, a separation from the past, which means a renunciation of all plans and interests into absolute guidance. I love this scripture. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, and he has, he would guide me into all truth. It's very hard when God puts hundreds of millions of dollars in your hand. What to do with it? Who do I give it to? How much do I retain? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? How? What? Where? You have to have that voice to guide you. Because a wasted dollar, in my opinion, is a wasted soul. I tell my partners, for every dollar given to my ministry, give me a soul. Man, the other day, my gate gave us some money, and I went, good Lord, I can't take a vacation. I got to go get people, because I said, what you invest, I would produce. That's why I work the way I work. It's not because I want to or even have to. It's because of what I said. And then 34 years ago, when I went in full-time ministry, my old Bible, I got it on my shelf. I wrote in the very cover, I want my word to be like God's word, that when I say something, I will do what I say. That's the reason why I'm saved, because God can't go against his word. Do you see that? Now, when his word doesn't seem to work, I understand it perfectly, because I understand it through faith, not by faith. Because I understand the inner workings of it. His word's working, but he may not be working according to your intellectual ability to receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what you do in life echoes into eternity. Write this down. Excelling is a pilgrimage whose course and duration cannot be seen. God gave me a statement to excel in 2012. Excelling is a pilgrimage whose course and duration cannot be seen. I really know I'm on course when I can't see it, because the evidence of faith is not seen. I really don't get excited when it's manifested, because that's all it is then. But my God, when it's in the unseen world, it can grow even bigger than what I can see. Because now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why he could go not knowing where he was going. It was a pilgrimage. You see, he wasn't going to find God. He was bringing God with him. Because you see, he wasn't lost, because neither was God. You see that? So excelling in life is a pilgrimage whose course and duration cannot be seen. Write this down. Excelling is the surrender of life to a hidden guidance. To surrender of life. I've had so many people ask me that knew me before I was saved, how could you stop drinking immediately? I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. You understand what I'm saying? That's before I started playing music, when I wasn't saved. And then I would drink at night. I smoked a lid of dope a week. You know what a lid? It ain't a lid like a... Y'all know what a lid is. Some of y'all are ex-dopers. PCP crystal. I mean, it's amazing I didn't die as a young man. Should have. But you see, when people said, I've heard people get delivered. Get delivered? What do you mean get delivered? Did you get born again? The only way you can, you got to go back to the graveyard and jerk the old man back up. Yeah, but I feel like I want a drink. So, ain't got anything to do with feeling. Sometimes you don't feel married, but look at the woman. You are married. I'm like, Mark said, Kathy, I've been married to Kathy 42 years this year. Myself, I mean, and we've never divorced or separated. It's really been a wonderful time. That doesn't mean we ain't had squabbles. And you know, the older she gets a little contrary. She jumped in my case the other day. I thought, my God, woman, what's your problem? She said, I want to tell you something. I said, go ahead. Look like you will, so... I ain't gonna stop this, so let it flow, baby. Come on. She said, I am not that dumb, stupid girl you married 41 years ago. I said, I miss her. I liked her a lot. She was a wonderful person. Kathy said, I killed her. Okay. She ain't never coming back. Because when Kathy was young, the only word she had was
yes.
I love that. Now the other word is go. The other day I got shocked. I believe it was the Lord that blessed me. I came in from a meeting, got to bed about 2:30 in the morning. I was tired. I mean, I just about ready to fall off, and she tapped me on the shoulder. I thought, whoa, what? What? I said, what? She said, I want to let you know. I said, oh, God, that I really love you. I said, she's back. Thank you, Jesus. And that's all I can say about that. I can't say nothing else. What you do in life echoes into eternity. Write it down. I want to get off of this as quick as I can. Excelling is the surrender of life to a hidden guidance. People are always trying to get me off of the course. And what they don't understand, I don't even know what the course is. I'm letting the Holy Spirit guide me. It's hidden from the world. Now, here's the thing that's amazing, and it's why these people, this is how you make the list. Is your name on that list? Is your name on that list? If you're a leader, you should be on that list. Let me show you something that God does. Write it down. God never shows us how much it will cost to obey him. Write it down. God will never show you how much it will cost to obey him because you can't pay it. It's already paid. You do your work by obedience to simply obey. If God would have told me in the beginning of my ministry, my television bill every month, I wouldn't have done it. I just can't do that. If he'd have told me the amount of employees and what I have to spend every month, plus benefits and all this stuff, all he told me was to go ye. I didn't even know where ye was. I said, I don't know where that's at. He said, good. Then you'll always keep your eyes on me and you'll never falter or fail. See, he never tells you what it would cost you to obey him. Abraham did not know that. And the first cost was to leave his family. Leave your mother and father. That ain't an easy thing to do unless you don't like them. You know, I don't know about that. He said, well, how do I know when I get there? You'll know. You see, I never forget the time when Brother Copeland had the Eagle Mountain Motorcycle Rally. Me and Jerry Savelle was standing on the last one. Let me just say that. The last one we had did here at the ministry. And we were standing behind the platform. And there was enough equipment. God, probably feel this. Maybe more than this. I mean, just equipment everywhere. And Jerry leaned over to me and said, well, you know, when I first went to work for Kenneth, you could put everything he owned in the back of a station wagon. I said, that include Gloria? He said, yeah. I said, look at this. Just to produce this meeting, the television equipment, the lights, the stage, the sound, all the stuff. But you see, if he told you, you need this, you need that, he'd go, huh, that's impossible. That's why he doesn't say it. So you have to grow into it like a child who grows in it. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that time. And all those people getting saved. And I forget Matt Gober. He was such a blessing. I was preaching a sermon. And some guy come up there. And you know, people that came to those kind of meetings, they didn't look saved. They didn't smell saved. This one guy come up there. And I'm about ready to speak. And he said, I love you, Brother Jesse. And I heard him say, I enjoy him. And he reached in his pocket and started rolling a joint. I went, Mac, he's rolling a joint. He said, he what? So Macklemore said, "You can't do it." He said, "Every time I feel this good, I get high." But Mack didn't hurt him. Mack didn't beat him. Or, you know, just, he said, "Let me give you something that's better than that. You listen, you're going to get the most high." And he, you know, that typical 60s and 70s drawl. "Wow, man." It was a great time. And yet great ministers came out of those motorcycle meetings that the world would never choose. See, God loves everybody on his planet, whether you do or don't. And God said, "I'll send these and send those because you're so precious to him." See, what you do in life, it echoes into eternity. Write this down. To excel, you must be ready for unexpected calls and new responsibilities. To excel or to echo, you must be ready for unexpected calls and new responsibilities. It always happens in everything you do. When is the ministry too big? It never is. I honestly believe if we had everybody saved on the planet, some aliens would show up the next day. And we'd have to go evangelize somewhere. You got to be ready for unexpected calls and new responsibilities. This is the excel, see, to do what God wants you to do. There's been times I didn't want to do what God wanted. I was tired. I said it the other day when I was finishing out my year. I was coming home on that plane. I mean, I rode hard and put up with. And the Lord said, "I know you want to take some time off, but I'm going to have people come to your house and your office every day, and I want you to tell them about." I said, "Jesus, they'll probably go to hell anyway. So what's the use? I ain't going to lie." But you say stupid things when you're tired. I said, "But okay, I'll talk." And I, on my time off, I had one of the most exciting times reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. I'd go to my favorite restaurant or something like that, and somebody said, "I watch you on television." I had a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi. He said, "You are very interesting. Now, I am not a Christian, but I watch you faithfully every Sunday." I said, "Well, don't you know Jesus is Jewish?" He goes, "You are very interesting." I said, "Well, let's talk about the God you serve." I'll get Jesus in there. Wasn't criticizing a man. We had a wonderful conversation. I find people sometimes lean over in a restaurant like this. I say, "Y'all lost and going to hell too?" "Oh yeah. Well, come on over here." You know, you get a whole bunch of people around the thing. And the rest of them get mad unless you tip them. So I take out a little money. I said, "Come here." I said, "We're going to use this for a while. How much you make an hour?" "Yeah." "Well, here's five times that." "Oh, stay as long as you want, Reverend." "Enjoy yourself." Hey, it's worth it to me to get somebody born again. See, that was an unexpected call. I wasn't expecting that. It was a new responsibility. You must accept Christ's commission and set sail upon an unknown sea or ocean with sealed orders. How many of you have been in the military? Hold your hand up. How many of you got orders? You got them orders. You did what them orders said. Sometimes they would put you out there and you didn't open them orders until you were out to sea. You see, let me say it again. You must accept Christ's commission and set sail upon an unknown ocean with sealed orders. Yeah, but what's in the envelope? Don't make no difference. Your primary concern right now is to obey. And when we open up, those orders are sealed. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Because, see, it's above your pay grade to change it. You got to get another star and another star and another star before something's changed. That's sealed order. See, my orders are sealed. To go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Yeah, but how much money is it going to take? It has nothing to do with me. My orders are sealed. But how do you know where to go? And it makes no difference. Go. And when I open up the envelope, I'll find out what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. Why? Because I'm obeying orders. I'm under command. And then I go to a place where I do command. You follow my point? So that my life or your life would echo into eternity. I saw an old movie the other day I really love about this wonderful man named Peter Marshall. I don't know if you ever heard of Peter Marshall. He pastored the great church there in Washington, D.C. almost fell off a cliff when he found his calling to go preach the gospel. It was an amazing thing, and he had the honor of. I saw the gift of the Spirit in operation. Now, I don't think Hollywood understood what was going on, but they played it out. That when he went before West Point, he changed his sermon, and he said, "I had to do this." And certainly, then no more than an hour later, you know, we found out that Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor, and they had to turn people around and go. And I thought, look at their God. Hollywood don't even realize that the gift of the Spirit was in operation in that man as he ministered. But you see, his words echoed into my life. Because I never met Peter Marshall personally. I wasn't born then. But you know what? I met him in his message. I met him in his echo. I have a series of books. It's an old series. I don't really study them. I just read them a lot. 20 Centuries of Great Preaching. Anybody got that in your library? 20 Centuries. You ought to get it. I mean, some of the greatest men, Billy Graham's, and they go from all the way back. I have a very extensive library. And when I want to feel Jewish, I pull out the Talmud and the Mishnah, and I read from right to left, which is not easy. I have to teach myself where to go, and so I can understand. The other day, I stood in my library, and I said, "All this knowledge, this is what Paul the Apostle had. This is what he knew, not believed. He knew this. And he threw it away to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified." But then he picked it back up when he spoke to the Jew so he could minister along their line of thinking. And what do I mean by throw away? No, he didn't discard it, but he realized, he understood through faith the inner workings of it instead of just to live by faith or by law. Are y'all enjoying this? See, you must accept Christ's commission and set sail upon an unknown ocean with sealed orders. I was so excited when Jeremy preached his first minister's conference two or three years ago. I said, "Oh, Jesus." I could hear the unloosening the ropes. He going to sea. He got sealed orders. Here we go. And then the next thing I hear, he's in his own ministry. And it's wonderful to see that. It's a blessing of God to see it. And I thought, man. Now, you know, some people get intimidated. I've never been intimidated by nobody. And I don't mean that private, because I wish I could preach like Kenneth Copeland, but I can't. Or teach, I can't, so I don't. I wish I could be Gloria, but I'm too ugly. I'll never get there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't try. So I accepted Christ's commission. And my orders are sealed. When are you going to retire? Abraham didn't do his best till he's 100. That's not in my vocabulary. Would you like to slow down? Yes. But that's not my privilege neither. That's above my pay grade to understand that. My orders are sealed. You see, I fell in love with the word of faith. Not that I don't like the Baptists. I preach Baptist conventions. Can you believe it? They asked me. They said, "Please don't say nothing about tongues." I said, "Okay." But it'll ever come out when I least expect it. I don't know. I just want to warn you. But I'll do my best. When the Catholic Church asked me, "Oh, that's wonderful. We're going to do the Mass, then would you do the homily?" Yes. See, the Archdiocese of Roman Catholic Church. And because they, as far as they're concerned, I'm Catholic. I mean, I'm in the records. I'm christened and confirmed. They didn't throw me out. And I love to walk up those little pew thing. I mean, the little pulpit things. They're not like this. Protestants got stuff. No. You walk up. This is artwork, man. And you close the door behind you, and you're on the side. "Stand for the reading of the word." You can't kick because you knock the thing. You're small up there, you know. But it was such an honor to be asked. Orders are sealed. I want my life to echo into eternity, not so people can remember who I am, but remember what I say. Because what I said is what God said. You follow what I'm saying? Write this down. Faith is always an adventure. Why? It produces courage of the soul to face the unknown. Faith is always an adventure. It produces courage of the soul to face the unknown. There's a lot of things I don't know. And encouragement is the oxygen of the soul, so I breathe. I encourage myself. And it gives me that courage to face the unknown. You see what I'm saying? Because it's an adventure. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight. That doesn't mean we hadn't had hard times. Someone told me a while ago, said, how do you get it into here? You want me to give you a little secret? Let me show you something. There's one thing Satan is good about. He's good about time. He knows he doesn't have much. You understand what I'm saying? So he knows that everything he does has to count because he is awaiting confinement. See, he's been already sentenced. He's going into the pit. He knows that. Now, he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. So he can't receive anything by faith. What I'm preaching today, he don't even understand. He's lost that. He's pure intellectual. He's pure flesh. So he watches you. And whatever bothers you is what he uses to hinder you. Now, if you believe in God for something and you keep talking about it constantly, you bring it to God. Don't misunderstand me. But you go, boy, I hadn't seen it yet. I hadn't seen it yet. But you wait, I hadn't seen it yet. He goes, what we're doing is working. But if you know in whom you have believed and you persuaded and committed, go read the scripture. If you just don't pay attention to it, he'll go, why aren't they talking about that? That they hadn't got it yet. They hadn't got it yet. I just don't say nothing. He goes, where is he looking? And he'll back off the hindrance and your tsunami of blessing will come flying in. Do you follow what I'm saying? But if you're paying attention because you hadn't seen it yet, where he goes, well, evidently what we're doing is working. So let's just put a double, let's do a blitz on this thing. But if you turn your head and start looking at other things, I promise you he's going to do this. What is he looking at? Where is he going? Because that's where we want to hinder him. And there's been times I've told Kathy something. She said, Jess, and I went. She goes, oh, yeah. And all of a sudden we drew Satan and his cohort's attention away from what we really wanted. And the tsunami came in. Boom. Not of destruction, but of blessing. Remember that. Your prayers will get answered a lot quicker because he'll back off. I asked the Lord one time, I said, things have been going pretty good. I said, we ain't had too much trouble. What's the matter? The devil took a vacation? Oh, you're just putting extra angels around me to protect me? He said, no, he's putting out fires. I said, what'd you say? He said, he's putting out fires, Jesse. He ain't got time to mess with you or the body of Christ. I said, what? He said, he sowed rebellion in heaven. He's got rebellion in his own works. He's reaping what he sowed. He's got big angel said, he's been lying to us. We ain't getting this. I'm taking over. So he got to go beat their brains out. He's got to put them back under submission. All of a sudden, everything's going good. Money flowing, everything flowing. And once he gets them back under submission, he's going to come back at you. He sowed rebellion. He's got rebellion in his camp. He has disorder in his camp. See, that's why I refuse to be double-minded. It's a form of spiritual disorder. You would never put money in a machine that says out of order, would you? Because you'd be stupid if you did. That's a big sign, out of order. Well, let's see if we can get a Coke. But it says out of order. I know what it said. See, double-minded is a form of spiritual disorder. So don't put your nickels in something that's out of order. You follow what I'm saying? This is so you can excel, so your life will echo into eternity. So I've learned how. I don't mean it's private. I've learned how to take his gaze off of what I'm looking at. Anybody watch football? You ever notice Drew Brees? They don't know where he's going. He backs off. He's doing this. He's talking to the secondary. He's throwing here. So they start running this way, and he fires here. You see my point? The same thing with all these other, the real good quarterbacks, the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees's and the Aaron Rodgers and Eli and the Mannings, both of them. You see, because if you gaze in where you're going, your enemy's going to be there when you throw. But if you can make your enemy think you're going over here, but you're really going here, you're going to have a touchdown. It's very simple. It really is. Some of you have been struggling to make your church grow because that's all you do is talk about it. You can say at one time, this church is growing, and just start doing other stuff. And before you know it, there was a... This ain't working. You know what? We don't have much time left. We got to find something. Let's go see what he's... Let's try to attack him over here. When really what you want is here comes... It just comes flowing in. I can't say that enough. I keep repeating it. But I mean that. That's what I mean by faith is an adventure. Adventure. It produces courage of the soul to face the unknown. Write this down. Life loses its depth and fragrance without inspiration in it. Life loses its depth and its fragrance without inspiration in it. I get inspired when I get around Word of Faith. I leaned over to Glory. I said, you know, I start my year off like this. I said, oh, God. That's something that I can lean back on. Ministers confidently. Okay, come on. You know, I can't fall back because everybody's coming up here is preaching the truth, man. And it excels you. It pushes you. It's like a jet going off of an aircraft carrier. It can't get off by itself. Am I correct, Mac? You've flown them things. It's got to have something to pull that sucker, right? Now, you can be still full engine wide open, but it ain't going to have enough to get the lift. But if it pulls with that the thrust, if I understand that correctly, then you're flying, you see. So I keep inspiring. I inspire myself. I heard that David encouraged himself. I do that quite often. It sounds cocky, arrogant. I just walk in front of a mirror. Let me talk. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you what God's done for you. I just encourage myself. Why? Because negative information is always free. There's always somebody saying you can't. I had a preacher the other day. I had to correct him. He said, I'm glad they got off of me and they're attacking him. I said, my Lord, you ought to go stand by him. That's your brother, man. You ought to stand by him. Instead of saying, I'm glad they're off of me. I'll be honest with you. This team of Kenneth and Gloria and Jesse and Crevlo and Jerry or our motorcycle and Happy. You mess with one of them, you got to fight us all. We're coming, man. We're coming. We're just coming, baby. We're going to repent later, but we're coming. You hurt one of them, we're coming. Fight you want, fight you're going to get. And you'll have fight. Some people fight you different from Arkansas and from Texas. But I got a number. I can get some things done. Why? Because that's how we were taught on the streets. You back who you with. I was raised in Algiers, Louisiana, which is the roughest borough of the city of New Orleans. I'm a Frenchman, I'm a Cajun, but I was raised in the Italian section of the Sicilian Italian section. Most of my friends are Sicilians. I love them. You do what you gotta do. We take our own problems. Where's Fred? We don't know. That's how I was raised. I ain't saying that's fun, but that's how I was raised. And I got to thinking about that. If you take the bad out of it, what it is covenant. That's what it is. And you apply it with the right. Oh. Then there's nothing you can't do. So I keep my fragrance in my life by inspiration of his word. Now let me close with this. What do you do in life? Echoes in eternity. To excel in life, you got to listen to this. You must use the ingredient of romance. Romance is one of the most wonderful things that catches people's attention. The reason why a marriage dissolves is because there's no romance. You know, you can be broke as a junkyard dog, ain't got enough money to eat, but if you got romance, you got it all. We'll just starve together, honey. I remember when I left New Orleans, Louisiana as a young man, me and Kathy were married. 3 days later, I was in Dallas. I love Texas. I've been wanting to come to Texas all these years. Because me and Kathy started our life out, I went to play music here at the Inn of the Six Flags in Arlington for a man named Angus Wynn. I don't know if he's still living or not. The Great Southwest Corporation. I came there to play. Now, I didn't play the park, the Six Flags. I played Joe's place, the big club. That's how I started. And I just fell in love with Texas. And I'll never forget that. And, you know, and I didn't understand unions, things of that nature. You know, when I played in New Orleans, you just talk to the right man and you're in. Well, the Dallas Federation of Musicians attacked me because three Dallas musicians lost their job because I got it. And how I got it was I auditioned in the foyer of a hotel. I was there, and they said, no, we have a person. I wanted a 5 to 7 happy hour situation. And I said, no, you don't realize how good I am. And they thought, this cocky, stupid kid. But see, I knew what I could do. Now, I didn't know who they were had. They said, no, we already have someone. And someone was rolling out, one of the hotel people was rolling out a piano. They call it a spinet. You know what I mean by a spinet piano? A little smaller, not a grand or a little. And I said, stop. And I ran over there, got on that piano, kicked the stool out, did Jerry Lou, Great Balls of Fire, knocked the place out. They quit checking in. They went, you want a job? That's how I got my first job. That's after I finished the thing with Angus Wynn, because then there was no more. I could do that because I was under a contract. Well, they shut me down. I said, well, who do I talk to? What do I got to do? They said, you got to join the union. Join the union? What do you mean join the union? Anyway, to make a long story short, I did comply to that. And when I found out, I said, I just didn't know. And I had more work than I could stand. And some of you may not realize that at one time, me and Brother Copeland played the same club. Remember the Town Pump? Fort Worth, Texas. Anybody remember the Town Pump? Bunch of ex-heathens out here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sing and play, yeah. That's what I did. See, so I always thought I'd come back to Texas. So I still have a romance about Texas. I like horses. I ain't good at any of it. But I like the smell of Texas. I like to wear boots. Makes me taller. I just like it. But the Lord said, no, you go back to Louisiana. Oh, no, Jesus. No, Jesus. He said, do you love me? I said, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm in love with you. Then you'll go back to New Orleans. See, I've never lost my romance of the ministry. Now, when I went in the ministry, I never heard of you people. I never heard of Copenhagen. I didn't know what that was. I never heard of R.W. Shambach. I never heard of it. You got to understand, I was a Catholic boy. I heard of Pope Paul VI and Billy Graham. That's all the two ministers I ever knew in my life. Pope Paul VI and Billy Graham. That's it. But when I went into the ministry, and I used to hate it when the Word of God says this, but. The Word of God says this, but I thought, well, what to put the button there for? Well, why are they saying that? They would contradict what they was read. And then I realized something. They had lost their romance. First time I heard Kenneth Copeland, John Osteen, Thanksgiving Convention. I know he preached the Established Heart. I remember. He come walking out there and he said, hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Sang a song. I said, he got a good voice. Is he the singer? I didn't know Brother Copeland. They said, no, he's the guest speaker. Oh, okay. So I sat there, and when he began to open his mouth, I was one hungry boy. Boy, it touches me. I was starving in the ministry because no one would feed me the truth. I just went, God. I looked at Kathy, I said, this is it. We found it. We found people that loved the Lord. There was no ands, ifs, and buts. It just was, and it just is. That's romance. That makes you, man, love your wife, and you love her. And me and Kathy, here in Dallas, went to a store, Safeway, I think it was called, with $3 and pennies. Because of the union shut me down, $3 and pennies, bought macaroni and cheese, 10 cents a box. I'll never forget it. I don't eat macaroni and cheese no more, but I'll never forget it. I learned something. If you got romance, it don't make no difference what's happening. You're going to make it. Well, you see, romance is the main ingredient into excelling. Romance kindles a passion of interest. It calls you to yield to the inspiration of enthusiasm. Romance kindles a passion of interest. It calls you to yield to the inspiration of enthusiasm. The reason why people have left the word of faith is not because we're better. No, no. It's that they weren't in love with it. Why me and Kathy be married 42 years? Because we're in love with each other. That doesn't mean we don't have scraps and stuff like that. But we never think of separation. We never think we're going separate ways. Where will we go? What will we do? You see my point? Because when you're in love, not just love, when you're in love, that's romance. Well, we have a romantic encounter with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this in close. The romance of excelling will fire you up with a sense of power, a sense of privilege, and a sense of opportunity. You know why? You will never be bored to extinction. I have preached to some dinosaurs in my life. I've been in some churches, they're all extinct. They're like, yes, they're froze in time. They're dinosaurs. And I said, what caused this to happen? And the Lord said, they lost their romance when I was writing it. They lost it. They became a dinosaur. They were once there. They had power. But when they lost their romance, they lost their privilege. They got so bored, they became extinct. How can you be bored? Reading the Word of God and believing what we preach. And yet, I love the Baptist, the Methodist, the Episcopalian, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, the Church of Christ, the Word of Faith, full gospel assemblies of God, the Catholics. I don't have a problem with any of them. I'll tell you one more story and I'll quit. The other day I went to get some gas. And I had on one of my Texas boots. From Cato Mill, Texas. Butch bought me them boots. And they're nice, you know, them. It's them boots with the pimples on them. What do they call that? Ostrich. Yeah. You got them big pimples. I call them the pimples, man. I want the big pimples, you know what I mean? Full quill. That's it. That's what you call it. Full quill. So, you know, and so I put my own gas and all kinds of stuff. So I walked in and I saw this Muslim. He called it Muslim. So I said, so I'm standing in line. There's a couple of people ahead of me. They paid their gas, whatever they got. So I got them. He says, I said, I'm in pump 6. And he looks at me, he said, okay. He says, those are nice boots. Those are beautiful boots. I said, the Lord gave them to me. He said, who? I said, the Lord. He said, the Lord who? I said, the Lord, God Almighty gave me these boots. And I got a habit. If people start talking with an accent, I start talking with it too. I said, these boots, so I don't know why, it just comes out, you know, I don't know why. He said, the Lord give you them boots? I said, yes, I'm a minister of the gospel. What gospel? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, good, I'm a Christian. I said, that's fine. I said, are you going to heaven? Oh, I don't know. If Allah permits, are you going to heaven? I said, without a shadow of a doubt. How you know that? I said, because Jesus said I was. He can't lie. He said, no, you mean you know without a shadow of a doubt? I said, just like these boots. I said, without a shadow of a doubt. Wouldn't you like to know without a shadow of a doubt? By that time, I said, oh, excuse me, ma'am. I didn't mean, she said, I'm listening. Go ahead. I need this myself. I said it without a shadow, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what I said. In fact, I talked to God this morning. You did. Yes. What did he say? I said, he said he loved me. And we talked about what I'm going to do today. He did. You mean you actually talked to God? I said, look at the boots. He said, those are pretty boots. I said, he gave me the boots. Now, I am not exaggerating. You know what I did? I drove home, got another vehicle of the ministry, put on another pair of boots, and drove back to that gas station. I filled that one up. They said, boss, we're going to do it. I said, no, I'm filling up that. I filled it up. I walked, he goes, ooh, where'd you get them boots? I said, God give me them boots. He said, ooh, God give you 2 boots. I said, I got 14 pairs. Oh, God give you 14 pairs. I love boots. I said, do I have 14 vehicles in the ministry? I'm going to fill them. I'm going to wear them on these boots. I got you. I said, the Lord give me these boots. I said, would I lie to you? He says, oh, no. No. I said, there they are. I said, God blesses us. I said, does Allah bless you? And I'm not being critical. He goes, I never thought of it like that. I said, you want a pair of boots? He's concentrating on the boots. You got to go where the man's at. Oh, ooh, yes. I said, serve the gold or serve. You get boots. And more than boots. He says, I will never forget you. What I do in life echoes into eternity. Did you enjoy it this morning? Brother Copeland.